By this, we have nowhere near 1.4 million. The church that owns it really likes Ilion. So much so that they offered it to him and his church for $750,000. We met with them last week, and shared with them the most that we could come up with. Details, ask me after the service if you want to know. Basically, they came back the next day and said the lowest we can go is $680,000. We are $100,000 away with what our state association can do, what Palabra Davida can do, and how much we can borrow. So I'm asking you for $100,000. I'm kidding. I am asking you to pray. This is an unbelievable price for this property. It's a gift from God. There is a principle in the Bible called the economy of miracles. It's not a well-known principle. I think it's going to be in next Sunday's sermon. I think. No, maybe not. Maybe that's a different one. I work on sermons ahead of time and I'm getting them mixed up. But the principle is God will not do for you what you can do yourself. For instance, when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, the people there could not resurrect Lazarus. But they could roll away the stone. So Jesus said, "You guys roll away the stone. You do what you can do. And I'll do what I can do." God has already done his part in this. To get this property at such a good price is unbelievable. So I really need you to pray that somehow, some way, we can secure the additional $100,000. Okay? And if any of you is wealthy and haven't told me, keep it a secret, I don't care. But anonymously, help us out. I'm just kidding. And I'm very serious. I cannot emphasize to you how much we need your prayers for this. Okay? So, today's sermon, the importance of the incarnation. So we're going to be reading from a couple of passages, Matthew chapter 1. I actually think we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 1 first. So that's on the back of your bulletin if you want to look at the page numbers. So have you ever heard this story? An angel tells a young woman who's engaged that she's going to have a baby without ever having known a man. And that the baby will be the result of the work of the Holy Spirit. And that this baby will be called the Son of God. And when the baby is born, shepherds are going to show up and come to worship him. And that wise men would come from hundreds of miles away, guided by a star. Yeah, they didn't have GPS back then. Guided by a star to see the child. Have you heard that story? After the drama, I'm pretty sure you have. Most of you are familiar with it. But have you ever asked why? why did the Savior of the world have to come into the world as a baby? And if someone asked you that question, could you answer it? Think about it. Could you answer it? In October of 1993, a Christian group called For Him released a Christmas song called What a Strange Way to Save the World. It's a good song. Google it, YouTube it. Good song. When we think of a hero coming to save us from impending doom, do we think of Bruce Lee? Arnold Schwarzenegger? Are you ready for this? I'm going to do Superman. Well, I can't do that. But do you think of Superman? Or my favorite, Iron Man. I really like Iron Man. It hurts me that he's no longer with us. Is it Marvel or DC? Marvel. So, anyway, in the movies, okay. But picture a world facing certain destruction. A world under judgment by the most powerful entity in the universe. And God sends a baby. Why did God send a baby? Well, let's first establish the fact that he did indeed send a baby. In your bulletin, there is a green flyer that gives you the references in order to read the Christmas story. Yet, you don't need that right now. I'm just pointing it out. We give that to you every year so that you can read the Christmas story in your homes on Christmas Day. It starts with an angel coming to a young lady in Luke chapter 1. So I'm going to read Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 33. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, the town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was troubled at his words and wondered, "What kind of greeting is this?" But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." If an angel appeared to you, you would probably be afraid too. The angel was named Gabriel and explains she's going to have a baby. Now, it's probable that the angel said more than what is recorded here, because Mary seems to understand this is going to happen immediately, like quick. And she isn't married yet. So in verse 34, she asks, how will this be since I'm a virgin? Now, Mary was quite young, probably in her mid-teens. Don't let that panic you. Different culture, different time. Ask me about it this week, I'll explain it. So she was young, in her mid-teens. Excuse me. But she knew enough about life to understand what Gabriel was telling her was impossible. And her question is not necessarily one of doubt. She didn't respond by saying, nope, can't happen. She responded by asking, how? And Gabriel answers in verse 35. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. This is the first teaching of the incarnation in the New Testament. Mary is the first to know. And it appears, it seems, that Joseph is the second to know. But the angel didn't tell Joseph right away. And I believe it was intentional for Joseph not to know right away. Now, Joseph was engaged to Mary. And it was not long as the baby grew in her womb before it became obvious Mary was pregnant. And the only conclusion that Joseph could have come to was that Mary had been with another man and violated the engagement, which, by the way, in that culture, engagements were really serious deals. So Joseph decided to end the engagement. So now let's read Matthew 1, 18 to 25. Or actually, I'm going to read verses in 18 right now, 18 and 19. This is how the birth of Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, you hear that, even as they were engaged, he's called her husband because it was serious. She was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Engagements in that time and culture were much more serious than engagements now. So serious that they required a divorce to end. And Joseph seems to be quite mature because her being pregnant in that culture would have already been a huge, huge scandal. But Joseph doesn't want to make a big deal out of it and hurt Mary worse, even though he had to be quite hurt. So he decides to divorce her privately instead of publicly. But before he can initiate divorce proceedings, now the angel appears to Joseph in verses 20 and 21. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And of course, we know that Joseph obeys. He marries Mary. Now, there are two phrases in these passages I want us to notice. One in Luke, one in Matthew. The angel told Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then the angel told Joseph, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And when you combine these two phrases, the how is answered. And this was not some weird thing, but the power of the Holy Spirit miraculously, somehow, conceived in Mary's womb, Jesus, the God-man. The how is answered through the power and agency of the Holy Spirit. There would be a miraculous conception where God the Son would take upon himself humanity by literally being conceived as a human. God the Son. So let me pause here and just explain. We serve a triune God, the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. Okay? In my opinion, this is the most difficult doctrine in the entire Bible to understand, is the doctrine of the Trinity. My opinion. For me. So, God the Son, becoming human while still being God, God the Son, while remaining fully God, became fully man. So that's the how of the incarnation. But I have not yet answered the why of the incarnation. Here's the why. Sin cannot be simply forgotten. Sin against God cannot be simply forgotten, ignored, disregarded. If I were to pay a debt for you, I must identify with you to some degree. If you owe $100 and I decide to pay it for you, in a very real sense, I am substituting for you. I'm standing in your place to pay the debt that you owe. I take your place and I bear your cost at my expense, right? Because our sin is against God, and God is infinitely holy, the payment for sin is also infinite. Since humanity sinned against God, it would take a human. Humanity sinned against, we did. So it would take one of us to pay the infinite payment. But we're not infinite. The only way for the sins of humanity to be paid is if they were paid by someone who is both human and infinite. People are human. God the Son is infinite. And because of God's love for us, God the Son chose to become human, man, so that he could pay the price as one of us. He could identify with us, and the payment would be infinite since he is also God. For those of you into theology, you will enjoy this. For those of you that are not into theology, well, let me stretch you a little bit. Here are a few different ways to say it. And these are some quotes from Christian scholars down through the centuries. And let me just point out, there are huge books, scholarly books, written to explain what we're talking about here today. So I admit my explanation is limited due to time, plus I'm not a scholar to that degree. I could write a note, I couldn't write a book. So here are these quotes. There could be no redemption from the curse and power of sin apart from the incarnation of deity. There's just no other way. The payment price was greater than a mere human could have paid. The full penalty of sin could only be paid by deity, by God. But the Redeemer, the one who takes our place, right, substitutes, had to be human in order to have the right to redeem. He had to be God to be able to redeem. Because the debt of our sin is infinite, it can only be paid by an infinite being. And that would be God, because he is the only infinite being. And since it is man who owes it, it must be paid by man. So we need a God-man to be the one to pay for our sin against God. The incarnation. Okay, that's what we're talking about. The incarnation is when excuse me. The incarnation. I apologize. I'm so sorry. And I'm not even eating anything. I can understand it when I'm eating, because I eat really fast. I'm sorry, let me back up just a little bit. The incarnation is God becoming man. God becomes one of us. But he's still God, and now he's man also. And it's not a 50-50 deal. It's not 50% man, 50% God. He is still fully 100% God, 100% man, together. The incarnation was absolutely necessary for salvation. It was only through a human body that God the Son could die for the sins of fallen humanity. And this is why the incarnation is so important. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:21. Thank you very much, Dustin. My mind goes weird places. I was just thinking, I wonder if the microphone can pick me up swallowing. Sorry. Thank you. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And that's the incarnation. That's God the Son becoming human and taking our sin, so that through him we can be forgiven and his righteousness is credited to us. Now, the payment for our sin was not made in the manger. The payment for our sin was on the cross. And the proof of the payment was the resurrection. And that is why every year we make a big deal out of Christmas. Good Friday and Easter. And by the way, we make a big deal out of every Sunday. Because Jesus rose from the tomb on the first day of the week. And in honor of that, in recognition of that, the New Testament church met on the first day of the week. And this is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, the God-man, did all of this just for you. For those of you who already believe in and follow Jesus, rejoice! It's Christmas! And I mean that. I absolutely love Christmas. I have a playlist on my phone. 15 different artists singing The Little Drummer Boy. I love that song. It's my favorite sort of quasi-religious Christmas song. My favorite Christmas song, Christmas Carol, is O Holy Night. It's profound. Rejoice. It's Christmas. Jesus came to make a way for us. And if you're not following Jesus, believe in him today. Decide to follow him today. And let this be the best Christmas ever. By finding forgiveness of sin and being reconciled to God through the work of the incarnate Son of God, Jesus Christ. And believing in Jesus is not just simply saying, yeah, I believe he existed. It's believing in him so deeply, and your need for forgiveness of your sin, that you bank your entire life, you trust your entire life to Jesus. It changes you. You are no longer the person you were before. No matter how good you are no longer the person you were before. Because in Christ, God made Christ to be our sin so that in Christ we can be credited, accounted with his righteousness. I'm not a Christian because of how good I am. I'm a Christian because of how bad I am, and I recognized it and asked Christ for forgiveness and committed my entire life to him. I'm a Christian because of him, not me. I love Christmas. That baby was born for me and for all of you and for all of you. You got it, Noah. All of us. Follow him. Please follow him. Let's pray. Father, may your grace be upon us at this moment, working in our hearts, helping us to see the sheer beauty of Jesus Christ, the wonder of Jesus Christ. Let us be amazed that God the Son, Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, limited himself to being conceived in the womb of a teenager, becoming man, being born, growing up and living perfectly, and then dying on the cross for our sin and resurrecting the third day. Help us to believe with our entire being in Jesus Christ. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.